Welcome to episode 569 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 24 in our series, 30 Days to a Happy New You. Research has confirmed that prayer is the most widely practiced religious activity in the U.S. Just about half of American adults pray every day. While this is far less than the prayer activity in parts of West Africa and the Middle East, Americans pray far more than their counterparts in Canada or most wealthy nations. And what do people pray for? Besides prayers of praise and gratitude, prayers seeking forgiveness of sin, prayers for help with crises, and prayers on behalf of loved ones, many respondents to recent surveys indicate that they pray for parking spots, to not get caught speeding, for their favorite teams to win in sporting events, or to win the lottery. Also, many admit that they pray only at meals, or they pray prayers that they read from a book or that they memorize from childhood. Given these types of prayers, there may be even far fewer people, Christians or non-believers, praying as it was intended, praying in ways that enable one to develop or deepen a relationship with God. Prayer is an important part of the Christian life, and a happy new you is one who prioritizes prayer. Not only does prayer affect our lives and the lives of others, but it is also a way to communicate with the Lord and grow in our relationship with Him. At the heart of prayer is an act of worship to the Lord. God's word places an emphasis on the power and purpose of prayer, and therefore it should not be neglected. We all want our prayers to be effective, so much so that when we focus on the results of our prayers, we lose sight of the incredible privilege we have in prayer. That people like us speak to the Creator of the universe is itself an amazing thing. Even more astounding is the fact that God hears us and acts on our behalf. The first thing we need to understand about effective prayer is that our Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of humanity, had to suffer and die on the cross to even make it possible for us to approach the throne of grace to worship and pray. Although the Bible offers a great deal of guidance on how we can deepen our communication with the Creator, effective prayer has more to do with the one doing the praying than it does with how we are to pray. Scripture indicates that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. And again, the prayer of the upright pleases him. Prayer saved the righteous Daniel from the lion's den. And in the wilderness, God's chosen people benefited from Moses' right standing with God. The barren Hannah's steadfast and humble prayers resulted in the prophet Samuel. And the Apostle Paul's prayers even caused the earth to shake. Clearly, the passionate prayers of God's righteous children can accomplish much. We need to make sure that our prayers are in line with God's will. 1 John 5 verses 14 to 15 states that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Praying in accordance with God's will is essentially praying in accord with what He would want, and we can see God's revealed will throughout Scripture. And if we do not know what to pray for, Paul reminds us that as God's children, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to intercede for us, as the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And since the Spirit of God knows the mind of God, the Spirit's prayer is always in keeping with the will of the Father. Additionally, prayer is something believers should do continually. In Luke 18 verse 1, for example, we're told to pray with persistence and not give up. Also, when we present our requests to God, we are to pray with faith, with thanksgiving, with a spirit of forgiveness toward others, in Christ's name, and as we previously stated, with a heart that is right with God. It's the strength of our faith, not the length of our prayers, that pleases Him to whom we pray. So we don't need to impress God with our eloquence or intelligence. After all, God knows what our needs are even before we ask. If we're praying for God to do something in our lives, we need to make sure that we first confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. Unconfessed sin in our hearts could be an impediment to effective prayer. Isaiah 59 verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." Fortunately, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Another barrier to effective communication with God is praying with selfish desires and wrong motives. James chastises readers in James 4 verse 3. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." God is not like Santa Claus. We ought not to treat him as such. The Bible also points out other obstacles to an effective prayer life, including rejecting God's call or ignoring his advice, worshiping idols, or turning a deaf ear to the cry of the poor. That said, there are many wrong views in the world and in our culture about prayer, even among Christians. Prayer is not bargaining with God, making demands of God, only asking God for things, a therapeutic meditation-type exercise, bothering God or taking up his time, a way to control the Lord, a way to show off one's spirituality before others.
Sing together, Father in heaven. Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but God deliver us from the enemy. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
The best way to learn about the purpose of prayer is studying the example of Jesus during his earthly ministry. Jesus constantly prayed for himself and for others, and he prayed to commune with the Father. John 17 is a great place to see Jesus' use of prayer. In this chapter, Jesus not only prays that the Father be glorified, but also prays for his disciples and for those who will believe in me through their message. Submitting to the Father's will was another aspect to Jesus' prayer life, highlighted in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. After a moment of anguish, he declares in Matthew 26, verse 39, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." With any request we have, we must submit to God's will. In addition to interceding for others, prayer is also a way to strengthen our relationship with God. Jesus set the example as he prayed to the Father throughout his earthly ministry. Those in relationships will naturally seek to communicate with each other. And prayer is our communication with God. If we want to have a strong, vibrant, growing, deepening relationship with God, we pray, we pray, we pray. Other good examples in the Bible of those who spent meaningful time in prayer are David, Elijah, Hezekiah, and Paul. Effective prayer is a way to strengthen our relationship with our Father in heaven. When we study and obey his word and seek to please him, the same God who made the sun stand still upon the prayer of Joshua invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray with confidence that he will extend his mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Father, we want to be more closely aligned with your will. Help us to draw nearer to you by spending more time communicating with you in prayer. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.